All right, TNA recap here in just a moment, but I guess the biggest news this week isn't Vince McMahon defecating on someone. It's The Rock defecating on Cody Rhodes' dreams. This is crazy that, you know, a predetermined show has so much backlash, but have you read any of this backlash? The "we want Cody," the hashtag, and all the stupid shit. Like, people are riled up. And a lot of people are more riled up about this than what Vince McMahon did the prior week. You know, all that information coming out.
Yeah, it's a cycle. I think we've all gotten used to with regular news as well as wrestling news. Here's a new thing. Oh God, it's outrage. Ah, and they all freaked out about it because they need something new to get pissed about. It's like, you know what? They made a decision. Is it a great idea? I have no idea. Any idea could be made good. Do I have faith they will? Not so much.
I don't know what The Rock's filming schedule is. To where
they want their money. They want WrestleMania to make money, and they think that's how it's going to happen.
I don't know what The Rock's filming schedule is, so we don't know like if he's got something coming up immediately after this or not. Which, I mean, I just don't know. I don't follow it close enough.
No.
I know they've been trying to get him to do this for like a year or two.
Yeah. I think now that he's part of the TKO board, that probably factored into it too. You heard his daughter's in charge of NXT, didn't you know? Did you hear that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Just nothing like nepotism.
I mean, it is the Nepotism Wrestling Federation, pretty much.
NWF.
So here's my thoughts on it. WWE, and it's to their detriment, in my opinion, run rematches way too much, whether it be Raw or pay-per-views. Even stuff that's not hot, they constantly run the rematches.
Right.
Or they just tweak it just a little bit. We've seen Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Rock versus Roman Reigns.
No, and they've teased that for a little while.
I'd rather see The Rock. I'm not joking. I don't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's bad to inject somebody who's not new, but new to this whole current age in there, especially since they're related and he talked about being head of the table, blah, blah, blah. So there's something they could do with that. I'm not disinterested in it, but... And the Cody thing, you know, he's there. He's just got there pretty much. If they want to continue the thing with him and Roman Reigns later, that's fine. Do it. I don't think it needs to be WrestleMania.
Yeah. Didn't he sign like a 4 or 5 year contract?
Yeah.
So there's time.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest Cody Rhodes fan. He's very formulaic. He's very WWE. So he made the right decision.
Oh yeah.
But as far as there being some kind of outrage, like he's earned it for so long or whatever, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, especially with all the shit being predetermined.
It's like they're building something. Yeah.
They're building something, and you may not like it in the end, but that doesn't mean they don't maybe have a good idea.
Well, can't he wrestle him in like night 5 of WrestleMania or whatever it is? Don't they have like a week of
a week long shit?
I mean, again, just watering down of a product, right? I mean, there is still multiple nights, right? As far as I know, right?
Yeah, I think there is. It's not quite a week, but it's four days or so, I think.
Yeah, right. And it's 24 hours. They don't stop.
Yeah.
It's fucking Burning Man.
They've signed enough people to be able to do that.
So anyway, I mean, so what's your thoughts on that? Just simply put, you know, there's a plan in place anyway. Would you rather see The Rock?
At this point, yeah, since he isn't there as often, I wouldn't mind it. It's fine. I'm not saying it's going to turn out to be the best match ever, but, you know, it's at least as interesting as I think Cody and Roman could be.
Does that vaginal-esque wrinkle in the back of Rock's head turn you on as much as it does?
Starting to get them hot dogs on the back of his neck.
But yeah, I mean, they could make a good story out of it. Better than my daddy had this belt. I want it too. I mean, because that is the story, correct? Is there more to it?
That he won it, and that they immediately took it off him because Vince didn't like him or whatever. I mean, they saddled him with the polka dots and sapphire and all that shit, and Dusty being Dusty made the shit work, you know?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, that was, he was fun to watch, yeah.
So, yeah, well, he was always a good promo. He was always funny. It's not something that if this doesn't happen this time around, it's never going to happen. So I'm fine with it. And Cody, Seth, I'm like, okay, well, we'll see.
But Cody just feuded with Seth. Again, that goes back to, going to the well, because that's when Cody got the torn pack and then, wrestled him in Hell in a Cell or whatever. So that just happened too. But again, to each their own. Their fans must love regurgitated shit a lot,
Well, they get a lot of it.
They're just taught it, right?
Yeah.
If you have a problem with someone,
look until the people are sick and then go to something else.
Yeah, maybe. All right, TNA. I think they call this the longest 2 hours in wrestling.
That's a great tagline.
Yeah, that's a D'Amore special. You can use that, Scott. Anyway, they do the recap stuff, and then the biggest star of their show comes out, Nick Nemeth. And they should use this guy as much as possible. And I'm being honest, because he's like the only guy on the show that like comes off as a star. Do you get what I mean? He has like this little bit of aura.
Yep.
And he should do a backstage interview. He should do whatever, But so he comes out. But again, he's definitely, in the 2 decades he was in WWE, he's definitely kind of stuck WWE. He's not doing any cool shit. He's just...
No.
He is going through a WWE match. He defeats Trey Miguel, which really, Miguel's a hell of a wrestler, but he was doing a little too much showing off, like mimicking him, kind of.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? Maybe too much of the, mocking of Nick Nemeth. That's be the only thing I would change, just a hair, flipping out the crowd, slapping your ass, I don't know. This was all right for what it was, but.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of the constant tropes that I think if Nemeth is such a pro from another company, he's now here, but he shouldn't fall prey to stupid stuff like distractions all the time. Or the tag team partner's in there grabbing his leg or stupid shit. Like, don't get so close to the ropes then. Don't get within arm's reach. Just say, I refuse to wrestle. She get that guy out of here, period. I won't deal with that.
You don't like the refs ejecting and stuff like that, that.
Yeah.
If there's a move that you need to bring back, it's not the 10 elbow drops.
Oh, yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. That worked in WWE because that's what they've trained the audience to be that way. You should do something different in TNA. You shouldn't want to emulate them, move for move.
And we'll get into just a crazy WWE like fluff piece later on this show. But so this match ended. Miguel was tuning up the band because, that's, that definitely wasn't a Shawn Michaels thing that Ziggler took. So let's just, let's call it back. He's tuning up the band, but then Ziggler hit his own super kick. Got the pin. Last week was the night of run-ins.
Yep.
This week, at least they're waiting, right? A little bit longer.
And the one thing, the other thing is that when Macklin made his run in and beat on him, then the Rascals came back and joined in. I could see that it might be cool. It's like if they formed a little faction that says, we're going to fuck you up every single time you're in the ring. We're going to attack you all the time because we don't want some superstar coming in here and stomping all over our ring. We've been here. You haven't. I could see that would might be have legs if you have a faction that forms specifically to do that.
Yeah, like gatekeepers or something similar to that. Yeah.
That's what you could even call them, the gatekeepers.
Yeah, that wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
Backstage, Cody Deaner is with Khan.
Now is that Connor from The Ascension?
It is.
It looked like him.
The bigger boy.
Yeah.
It looks like he's gotten bigger.
Yeah.
What was this segment?
It looked like he was, I'm guessing Deaner made a faction of some sort and Khan became part of it and he wants to say, screw it, it's over with. And Khan's like, nope, it's not. Okay.
which made no sense.
It seems like they're the only two guys in it.
And then later in the show. So it didn't make a lot of sense, but okay. Anyway.
If you're two guys in the factions and one says it's over with, you're kind of by yourself. Can't have a faction by yourself.
But remember, you can make people do stuff. John Laurinaitis was forced into those three ways. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you can get a faction together, whether people like it or not. You know what I mean?
Get into my head. Like I said, how did he make you? By threat of your job? Come on, man.
The Decay defeated Myla Moore, Savannah Thorne. This didn't last long.
No. The only thing, it was your basic squash jobber match, but the cool part was something else they could build on. Is the one that isn't Savannah, the one that isn't the blonde, short-armed or her tag team partner. Nope, I'm not getting in the ring with them. Just walked away. It's like, make something out of that between the two of them. Do they still have Implosion? It's on like on the internet only or something. It's like, use that, you know?
They brought that back, Explosion. I think it's still, it's something. I think you have to have TNA Plus. Which I assume you do.
That doesn't happen. I've never seen that happen very often. That you should use that as a story jumping off point for those two, at least to build one of them.
MK Ultra backstage watching the match. Some sort of
set up for Threat versus Masha.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. This segment I didn't like at all. Alan Angels and the sound check. Like I said, this, you got to go one way or the other. You got to really try to make it funny or make it really campy or make it, it was just little bits and pieces of everything. It just didn't work in my opinion. And he didn't seem like real supernatural doing it. It wasn't terrible. But with these guys sitting next to each other, one of them should have put on a hat because this just looks like a cancer treatment club or something. Hey, and I'm bald too, but I don't hang out with other bald people because of this. You know what I mean? So
don't look like a half a rack of eggs.
Yeah.
I don't know what the point is. He's trying to sound like a suck up, but then he's trying to needle him about something. Which are you, adversarial, or are you trying to build the guy up and make him a winning guest on your supposed talk show?
Alexander said he didn't know what he was talking about, and I agreed.
If you're going to piss him off, you better attack him afterwards.
All he said was, what did he say? You're not being a good example or something? It was very odd.
Something about not giving somebody a chance that should have. Which, does that imply him, or does it imply someone else he's talking about? They weren't really clear.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nah.
Brian Myers defeated Kevin Knight. Thoughts?
for what it was a fine match. Kevin Knight's a pretty decent high flyer. Takes some of the usual chances, but he's good at it.
He's very bouncy. I think he's got a future if they don't like make him job nonstop and, you know, kind of
right.
You know, give him, I think he can be good.
Well, they got him with Kushida too, so they could, I don't know why, again, they're basically letting the X division wallow for two, three shows now.
Yeah.
And that was their bread and butter. They even said that in this show somewhere. It's like, this was the reason they're known as the X division. And yep. Once again, no purely X division matches to wow the crowd.
Brian Myers, a little bit confusing because you see the guy, you know, in his tuxedo eating at Dave and Buster's, but then you see him, you know, with skulls all over the screen and it's like, you know, and it's not a whole lot of sense. Like, is he a suit and tie type of guy or kind of get nasty if it matters? I don't know. That whole group is kind of weird.
Yeah. It's like a faction because we need an X kind of a faction.
Very thrown together. Very looks forced. It doesn't, you know, it's corny. Moose is fine in the role, but I think the other three, it's just like, you should make them like suck ups or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like they should be feeding Moose the Dave and Busters or something. Like they don't look like, I don't know. It just, it doesn't look good to me. But anyway, they set up Knight and Kushida versus Edwards and Myers. I believe that's where they're going. Chris Sabin talking about Mustafa Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to, well, a little vignette of it, which is all fine. It looked fine. Mustafa Ali, he's coming off pretty good. Well, we'll see what happens.
They come off like a political ad.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. Cool. Yeah. Then two guys came up. Who were they?
I can't remember their names. I saw them last week, but all these guys were like stamped out of a fucking like cookie cutter. Just chum. Okay, you two are a tag team. And they basically said, oh, yeah, if you're the champion, sure, he's going to beat you. It's like,
isn't that crazy?
To me, that would be, later you would get waylaid with a pipe.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You come and diss me on TV and I'm the champion, guess what? I'm going to plow you.
Anyway, it was John Skyler's one of them. He's kind of the tinier one. He's setting up a Saban match, and he hopes that Ali will be watching. Why Ali, who's, you know, looks dapper and, you know, wants to get into politics, would have anything to do with these guys is a little weird. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they got something going on. And then this was bad, too. Kazarian comes out, and he says, Everyone, even you, because you were a part of everyone, were wondering why he turned on Eric Young. Is that what you were thinking? Have you been able to sleep?
Yeah.
Said he came back to TNA to save it. I mean, this isn't a Kazarian type thing to me.
No.
You're a veteran. You're just a grizzled vet, you know, not tag team, but you're, what do you mean, dude? Who cares? Does anyone care that he turned on this guy after teaming with him for a very short period of time?
No, nobody cares. If he truly goes the way of his promo and becomes a heel based on second, you know what? Being a nice guy, I didn't do it. I was here and I did the job and all that stuff and it never got me anywhere. Now I'm going to be a dick and I'm not going to give anybody any slack, blah, blah, blah. I say go with that.
Well, he's not going to be overlooked anymore, all right?
You know, flipping back and forth, you know? See where it gets him. But make a story out of it at least.
Yeah.
That's the reason everybody, that's a common reason for turning on someone. Play it out. Play out the details. That might make it interesting, but if you're just going to make him, I'm a bad guy now, duh.
Everyone's asking me about the details.
Yeah.
Scott D'Amore didn't tell me. The system. They were celebrating backstage. I think they're on their way to Dave and Buster's at this point. Alex Shelley broke into their little, you know, their talking because they came out of some fucking random area.
Mm.
And there's going to be a rematch, brother. Hype video for Ash by Elegance.
Yeah.
Whoa, what do you mean?
Blech. It tells me nothing about her. Nothing. She's a spokesmodel in a commercial. That's all that tells you.
She's a high-end lady.
Yeah. Who can wrestle? But we don't see that either.
Diener's coming down to wrestle. And then here we go. This is the man of the hour right here. It's PCO, baby. And they had to, it seemed like they had to electrify him a little bit more this time.
his lithium's wearing out on his battery.
Diener gets squashed here.
Yeah. Well, that's part of PCO's gimmick. He's like 911 or Braun Strowman or whatever. If he comes out, you're getting destroyed.
Nah. After the match, hit him with the moonsault. It wasn't too bad for.
No. It's impressive when a big guy can do that.
You know, especially for a freshly resurrected old guy.
Without breaking his head.
Khan runs down. Now, explain this to me. What the hell happened here?
I think the reaction of Khan is from when Diener came out and said that, you know, when it's the faction is dead himself. He basically said, when it's dead, you can't bring it back. And that signals PCO.
So did he break this dude's neck? Or what is Diener? Did Diener not sign an extension or something?
He rolled out of the ring because he wasn't in the ring.
Oh, okay.
Seconds after that happened.
Then did you see the claw go from the temple to the mouth to the temple? It's just all over the guy's face.
Just, yeah, like a alien sucker thing.
Yeah, is that what it was? Like taking the breath out? Is that?
I guess he was suffocating by pressing down his nose and his mouth.
Yeah. So if this sets up Khan PCO, what's your excitement level? 0 to 1.
Ugh. There better be lots of blood.
Just like all, you mean I, all of it?
Somebody better need a transfusion after the match.
Didn't get much. Well, go for it.
The thing I don't get is this is a holdover from when Russo was booking for them that won't go away. And Diener's in there cutting his promo. His promo somehow forces them to bring out PCO. And PCO gets in the ring, and all of a sudden, TNA management says, this is an actual match. They've made this match. Why? What possible reason could you have for this? Why does it make, tell me why this makes any sense for this to happen and for you to suddenly make it a match. It would have made more sense for to not have PCO, have Khan come down there, do his shit, and make it a match. PCO is just like, do they have that guy on like a guaranteed contract and they have to use him? They want to get the use out of him for their money, or what's going on there? Because I can't see any other reason why you would even do that.
I think you're in the Scott D'Amore experience at this point.
Like I said, I think the hot shot angles and the, well, just make it a match real quick. Why? What is it? What did it buy? Came in and attacked, what's his name, Diener, and he was never a factor in the match. Diener was never a factor. It's just stupid. It made no sense to do that, why they even had to interject that.
Well, you know what else is stupid? Top Dollar AJ Francis in the back.
Yeah.
Talking to Rich Swann. Talking about Explosion, actually. They talked about Explosion.
Okay,
And the best part of this show is when he tried to get Rhino's attention and Rhino told him to fuck off.
Fuck off.
Best part of the show.
It cracked me up. I was like, yeah, Rhino's fucking done.
So, I mean, this wasn't bad, but I also don't know what it's setting up. I mean, did you?
It's setting up for Rich Swann to. Rich Swann's either going to turn from the pressure eventually in some crucial moment, or it's going to come down between him and what's his name in a feud.
Yeah. So
he really doesn't want anything to do with him.
I mean, they mentioned Crazy Steve, but I don't know what the deal is there.
Yeah. Just with the thing with Rhino last week, I think was what all that was about.
And then here's another thing. This massive WWE fluff piece about Jordynne Grace. This actually kind of made me sick. You would think, like, Kevin Dunn or whoever took over for him made this, because this was insane to be on TNA here. This was talking about Jordynne Grace being in the Royal Rumble, and they had hyped this earlier in the show, like, Jordynne Grace in the Royal. So they talked to her, And we got to understand, she is the champion of your promotion, right? Top of the food chain.
She's the one that's getting the big press.
And all she can talk about is how nervous, how this has been her dream since she was 9 years old. How she can't wait to be in front of 50,000 people, you know, instead of five.
She had her Orlando crowd.
Yeah. She had her fucking parents drive, what'd they say, 15 hours to see this match? Because, you know, they don't want to see your TNA bullshit. But for the fucking Royal fucking Rumble, sure as hell they'll drive. Because this has been her dream. And this is the big leagues. And look at this stadium. And oh my God. What in the fuck was this? Yeah, what was this? Why did they show this shit? This doesn't make TNA look so fucking third rate. It's insane. Or did you not really have a problem with it? It just seemed like this could have been on YouTube or some shit. Like,
yeah. Unless there's some deal where Anthem is looking to sell TNA, which I haven't heard about. This is the only reason I could think that hyping it this much. I mean, milking the publicity, that's one thing. But yeah, you say they point out the stuff that, yeah, look, we're a piece of shit compared to WWE. Look at how great this was.
I mean, but, did it not come off like that in a way? Like, oh my God.
Maybe they're not thinking, maybe they're doing fanboying out and thinking the TNA guys are going to fanboy out too, but it's like, that's kind of a hometown crowd that's, you know, they chant, this is awesome. They chant, they're sold on TNA because it's there every week for them. They're sold on TNA because it's local. It's something they can count. It's something they can see all the time. I don't see, you know, they may like WWE, but they're going to go for their local guys.
I didn't like it. I mean, it's always cool to see, you know, behind the scenes stuff, but you couldn't have said, you know, like, yeah, you know, the champion and I'm coming to show these girls. It was nothing like that. It was very much, oh, I can't believe our champion just got to be a fly on the wall, you know, just a, you know, I didn't like it. Whatever.
Yeah. I kind of barely remember it. Cause did they show her eliminating anybody?
Hell no. She didn't eliminate anybody.
That could have been a piece too, where you eliminated this person or that person. You know, I don't know. I can see them wanting to milk it for the cross promotional. It gets them a little attention they normally really wouldn't get. But yeah, the way they presented it didn't do them any good.
Yeah. Masha Slamovich defeats Jody Threat. You got thoughts?
Nah. It was enough not to really make any notes about it.
What? I don't know. Sex appeal is really high in these matches, aren't they, though?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, the system was shown again backstage. This is the third time we're seeing these guys. Again, this isn't NWO type shit, guys. It isn't good shit, period.
Yeah.
Don't need it three or four times a show.
It's not even vanilla. It's kind of flavorless.
They beat up Kushida. Okay.
Yep.
Finally, we have, and this is best of three match, correct?
First best of three.
We had the Grizzled Young Vets, who have already had more success here than I think they had in NXT, but defeating ABC of Chris Bay and Ace Austin. Good match. I mean,
yeah.
Best thing on this show by far.
It's fine. I saw a botch or two where it's like, they're not like blatant ones, but there was one where one of the GYV guys is running through and he's supposed to just hit him with a drop toe hold, but the GYV guy stopped. And Austin Ace had to kind of twist himself around to catch him in the thing. He was set up to do it, but he had to adjust himself to where the guy stopped and then go through with the drop toe hold. It's like, no, that's not how it's supposed to work.
This is very weird because when they were, you know, because they still have the New Japan partnership, and that's why these guys are in Bullet Club. But it really makes no sense why they're in Bullet Club.
No, I was wondering from their logo that's they must have been associated with them. But
I mean, again, it's probably just TNA going, "Hey, my God, we're just lucky that New Japan even knows who the hell we are. This is great."
Yeah,
we're just a. You know, we're a skid mark on pro wrestling. It's just awesome. You know, I don't know, but yeah, 2 out of 3, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
they probably know these are their two best teams, and you might as well, you know, strike while you can.
It builds a little tension being a best out of three match. You can throw a little mystery in there, and you know they're going to win this first one, and then they'll win the second one, and then the third is the rubber match because it makes no sense otherwise.
Yeah, and so yeah, so Grizzled Young Vets they get the first one. Who's your wrestler of the week? Because for me, it has to be PCO.
Yeah, like I told you, you automatically get an extra star if you don't have PCO on the show. So
could have had a 2-star show, guys.
I guess I think Kevin Knight was the one who looked best to me, at least. You know,
way different than when they had Chris Bay just beat him randomly.
Yeah.
You know, so what would you say? So you're Josh Alexander and Will Ospreay. Was that 2 weeks ago or is that 3 weeks ago now? Either way.
I think that was the first show. I think.
And this was so the third? Okay. A couple weeks ago. How drastically different is it already in your opinion?
Oh yeah. It's like you had a hot moment and then it's pretty much cooled down. It's not a horrible show, but it's not really good either.